The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today, as you heard, is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. In a few minutes, we will confess our faith in the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, using the Athanasian Creed. This statement of faith does a wonderful job of giving us the ability to confess the truth about God revealed in the Scriptures, that he is three divine persons, even as he is only one God. Given some of the foolishness in our society, I feel compelled to note that when God introduces himself in Scripture, he uses the pronouns he and him. To disregard the preferences of the Almighty God, who created all things and still sustains and rules them, is not merely impolite. It tests his patience. Remember what Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." There is much about God as triune that remains beyond our ability to understand, much less explain. We err if we go beyond what the Scripture gives us to say about God, just as we do if we say less than what he has revealed about himself in his Word. The blessing of the Athanasian Creed is that it allows us to confess the truth concerning one God, who is three persons, without either adding to or subtracting from what he reveals of himself in the Bible. To hold the universal Christian faith that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, is vital. It's what God's Word teaches. It is not, however, by itself saving faith. It is at least theoretically possible to have as perfect an understanding of the interrelationship within the Holy Trinity as a human being can have, and yet still not know and trust the most important thing, that this God has saved you from sin and from death. As we will confess in the Creed, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. This work of God to save you from sin and deliver you from death and hell is not of the Son alone, but as our text makes clear, is the joint work of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Early in the text, Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus showed that he was clueless about what Jesus meant by asking how it was possible to enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus then clarified, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It would be difficult to say much more plainly that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no salvation, no coming into the kingdom of God, no forgiveness, no eternal life. Surely then Martin Luther was correct when he wrote, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. We are not able to see the Holy Spirit working, where he comes from or where he goes. But the evidence of his work is apparent. For the scriptures teach us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So then, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it's because of the Holy Spirit who was at work when you were baptized, when you were born again of water and the Spirit, and continues to sustain you in the life of faith as you hear and reflect on God's word. Nicodemus still didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, confirming the truth of Jesus' words. Not having received the washing of water with the word, having as yet a mere fleshly understanding of Jesus' teaching, Nicodemus couldn't see the kingdom of God. He didn't discern in Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing and casting out demons that God was inaugurating his gracious and saving rule. But Jesus nonetheless pressed on. What Nicodemus didn't understand at the moment he could remember and mull over in the weeks and months to come. The time would come when he would understand, when by the Holy Spirit's working through holy baptism, he would be reborn of the Spirit and would see that Jesus was no mere teacher come from God, but was the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, the long-promised Savior of the world. It is this to which Jesus is pointing as he speaks of the serpent that Moses lifted up there in the desert. I'm sure you remember the record recorded in Numbers 21. The 40 years in the wilderness were drawing to a close, but once again the children of Israel spoke against God and against Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." The worthless food of which they spoke was the miraculous bread from heaven, the manna which the Lord had provided for them without fail for going on 4 decades. Isn't this typical of the Lord's people? Despite his continuous gracious provision, we complain that he has not been faithful. The children of Israel have nothing on us. Even with the challenges of high inflation, we still have so much. And yet we are anxious. Our Heavenly Father richly and daily provides us with all that we need, indeed far more than we need. And yet we are consumed by worry and anxiety. Isn't it the case that your heart often focuses on this or that thing you'd really like, rather than being filled with gratitude for the overwhelming abundance of what you already have? That's sinning against the first commandment, the greatest commandment, having another God. It's no wonder the Lord responded to his ungrateful people by sending fiery serpents among them. He would be justified in thundering from heaven and vaporizing his ungrateful people. Only his abundant mercy prevents this. Instead, he sends fiery serpents or other dangers or threats, which cause his people to come to their senses, recognize their sin against the Lord and his word, repent, and having turned again, look to him for mercy. That was the lesson of the bronze serpent lifted up on the pole. The Lord wanted people to turn to him in repentance and faith, to trust his promises, and rely on his mercy. And as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, that whoever looked at it would not die but live, so Jesus tells Nicodemus, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The image of Jesus dying on a cross is the sign and seal of God's love for you. In that image, you see depicted the reality of God's Son, his only Son whom he loved, given by God as the sacrifice for your sin. Suspended on the cross, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, takes it away by bearing in his body the full burden of humanity's sin. To look in faith to the Christ crucified, to trust his sacrifice was for you, is to have eternal life. And notice that Jesus said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. As surely as no one can enter the kingdom of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in holy baptism and through God's word, so surely was the death of the Son of God absolutely necessary if anyone was to receive eternal life. That's why God the Father gave his only Son, so that you and I and a whole world of sinners, people who because of their sins justly deserve death and hell, so that sinners would not perish but have eternal life. And lest there be any mistake about it, Jesus goes on, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Through his perfect obedience, credited to us sinners, and by his innocent suffering and death for their sins, a death that marked the debt they had incurred as paid in full. The wages of sin is death. Jesus took your wages for you. This is God's promise. Whoever believes in Jesus, whoever depends on his saving work, has eternal life. There's only so much we can say about the inner workings of the Holy Trinity. There is, however, no question about this. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit seeks your salvation. The Father gave his Son for you. The Son gave his life for you. The Spirit gives himself to you. All of this giving so that you may have life forever. What Jesus accomplished for you nearly 2,000 years ago on his cross, God now delivers to you through faith. And he not only gives you this saving faith, he also works to sustain you in believing that you may not perish but have eternal life. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.